And they go to the hotel man, who's their brother. Well, we're two poor people. We are very tired and hungry. Could we have a room in the hotel? We can't pay too much money for it. And Reb Shmuel smiles and he says, of course, I will give you a very nice clean room and delicious food. Come with me. Oh, look, our brother is very nice. He's treating us very nicely. And they go to a very nice room, very clean, with beds and with chairs and all the things in a room. And then he goes and he gives them a delicious meal. And there are other Yidden in this hotel from a Yidden. And they see that, look, our brother is very nice. And it looks like his kashrus is very good. And his midos, the way he behaves, is very nice. He speaks very nicely. Baruch Hashem. Well, they want to see more about their brother. Mincha. Time for mincha. Okay. There's a minyan in the hotel. They daven mincha. Their brother is davening mincha. Okay, that's good. But still, you know, hopefully every Jew will daven mincha. It doesn't mean that he's a tzaddik or something. Every Jew is a good Jew and he should daven mincha. Okay, let's sit down for a shir. Let's learn some Torah. And they saw their brother sat down and somebody else came and he gave a shir in Mishnayis between Mincha and Ma'ariv. Our brother is learning, well, he's learning Torah. Well, that's good. He's a good Jew, he's learning Torah. He didn't give the shir, but he's sitting by the shir. Ma'ariv, everybody daven Ma'ariv. Later on they ate supper. Later on they learned Torah. Well, Baruch Hashem, our brother is a ganz fine from a Yid. But they didn't see anything like really special about him. I mean, everything was very nice and fine. They want to find out, does he have any like special things that he does? Is he a tzaddik? And then it came time for Kriya Shema Alamita. How many boys say before they go to sleep at night, they say the Shema before going to sleep? Kriya Shema Alamita. Okay, this is a special time if you say the whole thing, and especially if you do what it says in Chassidus, to sit down and think about the day. What kind of a day did I have? Maybe I did something that I shouldn't have done. I'll do tshuva. I'll be better tomorrow. Or maybe there was something I should have done that I didn't do. Let me think about that. And I'll ask Hashem to help me be better tomorrow. This is called a cheshbon hanefesh. This is also what we do, hopefully, by Kriya Shema Alamita. Kinalach, let me tell you what they saw. The two brothers are sitting by a table and they're looking at Reb Shmuel, the third brother. Let me tell you what they saw. Shh. It was late at night. Reb Shmuel took out a siddur. He opened it up to Kriya Shema Alamita. Shh. And he starts saying, Kriya Shema Alamita. Shh. And the brothers are watching. All of a sudden, he reaches into his pocket and he takes out a little book. And the two brothers are wondering, what is this little book? Because if he already has a siddur open, why is he taking out another siddur? It looks like he takes out maybe a little siddur. And the two beggars, who of course were Reb Zusha and Reb Elimelech, they moved a little closer to see what that little book was, because their third brother, Reb Shmuel, was so much concentrating on that little book, he didn't even see that they were coming closer. So they came closer and they looked at that book. Nope, it wasn't a siddur. It was written by hand, like little things that somebody wrote with a pen. What is that? All of a sudden, as they're coming closer, they hear their brother crying. He's crying as he's looking into that little book. Why is he crying? And all of a sudden, they saw the tears. So many tears are coming out of their brother's eyes. They're falling on that little book. And the book is getting wet. Look, he's crying on the book and he's making it wet. What's going on? And they came right up over his shoulder. He didn't even notice because he's crying so much. And this is what it says in the book. Shh. This morning, a man came to the hotel. I was very busy. Maybe I didn't speak to him nicely because I didn't have the patience to take care of him. And he was crying, looking at this, that he should have treated somebody nicer. And then it says under that, another person was very hungry. Maybe I did not serve them enough food. And I didn't go back to ask them if they want more. And he's crying on this. The tears are going on the words. Shh. And then it says on the book, there was a very old lady who said she was cold. And I put more wood on the stove. But maybe it wasn't warm enough for her. Maybe I should have given her an extra blanket. Or maybe I should have put some more wood on the stove. Maybe the woman was not warm enough. And Kenilach, he's crying over things he wrote that he should have done better. And the brothers see that the tears are washing away the letters. As he's crying, the tears are washing away the letters until they disappear. And it's like a page without any words. And the two brothers look at each other. They said, look, it must be that this is his book of anything he should have done better to do tshuva, and he cries on the book, the tears wash away the letters, and for sure it must be that Hashem forgives him when the letters are washed away with the tears. And from this they understood their brother must be a halakhic tzaddik, that he cares so much how he treats people, midos, is he nice enough, is he caring enough for people, that he does tshuva by Kriyas Shma Lamita and his letter, and the letters are washed away by the tears. So they saw that Reb Shmuel is certainly a tzaddik. And that is the end of the story. Of course, what we learn from this is, you know, we should all care about another yid. Even small things are not small things. You should care about another yid. Care about a person. Once there was a big Rasha. He did big Avedis. That's what made him a big Rasha. He did big Avedis. Shh. And people said to him, do tshuva. You're doing terrible things against Hashem. Unfortunately, he went on being a big Rasha and doing big Avedis. Even the rabbi came to him and said, you have to do tshuva. Start fasting. Don't do Avedis. But he didn't stop. They said, why don't you stop doing Avedis? Hashem is going to get you. He's going to punish you. And he still didn't stop. Shh. Finally, one day, his wife was crying. My husband, stop doing Avedis. Enough already. A yid should not behave this way. Everyone is telling you, do tshuva. Don't you know you have to do tshuva and stop doing your Avedis? please go to a tzaddik. He should help you to do tshuva. And the man says to his wife, I don't want to fast and sleep on the floor. And I don't want to do tshuva. It's going to be too hard. And she says, you have to do something to stop doing avedus. Finally, he agreed to go to a tzaddik. And this tzaddik was named Reb Mordechai. And Reb Mordechai was sitting in his room when this big rasha comes in. And he says, my wife said, it's time that I stop doing avedus. And I agree, but I know it's going to be too hard for me to do tshuva. I don't want to fast and sleep on the floor and do all those kinds of tshuva things. It'll be too hard. And besides, once in a while, I tried that before, but I gave it up. It was too hard to do tshuva. And I went on doing avedus. Kinalach, Reb Mordechai smiled. And the man felt, why is he smiling at me? I'm a big rasha. This is a halik at tzaddik. Why should he smile at me? Why should he be nice to me? And Reb Mordechai says, this is what you should do. I don't want to fast. I don't want to sleep on the floor. I don't want to go out in the snow and the cold. Oh, I don't want to do these things. And Mordechai says, wait a minute. I didn't tell you what to do yet. The tzaddik says, now listen. Before I tell you anything to do, you must, Bli Neder, promise me that you will do exactly what I say. And do not ask any questions and do not leave out one thing. Because if you leave out one thing or do different, I cannot help you to do tshuva. Only if you will follow me every little tiny thing I say. And the man was shaking. Oh, I don't know what he's going to tell me. It's going to be too hard. And the tzaddik looks at him in the eyes. Reb Mordechai says, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing I want you to do, after you say Moedei Ani and Vashneinu Maaser, is to have a delicious breakfast. A delicious breakfast? Yes, the best, most delicious foods. And you should eat a big, nice, delicious breakfast. Oh my. Why should I eat a big breakfast and a nice, delicious breakfast if I'm such a big rasha? He didn't even tell me to daven. He says I should eat a delicious breakfast. And then, when you get dressed, you should put on the nicest clothes. Warm clothes, good clothes, nice clothes, beautiful clothes. The best shoes, the best pants. Nice clothes you should wear. And he thinks to himself, who am I to deserve nice clothes if I'm such a big rasha? And then he says, for lunch, eat a delicious lunch. And you should have snacks during the day. Delicious good things, cake and chocolates and candies. And you should drink good drinks. And any nice furniture that you would like in your house, a comfortable chair you should have, and a comfortable couch, and rugs, carpets. And he thinks to himself, why should I live in a nice house if I'm such a rasha? And Kinalach, he says, when you go to sleep at night after a delicious supper, I want you to get a nice bed with nice quilts and a comfortable pillow, and sleep comfortably with nice warm pajamas. And that's what you should do. And Kinalach, the man, was very surprised that Tzaddik Reb Mordechai did not say to fast. He didn't say to sleep on the floor. He didn't say to go out in the snow. He said all of these other kind of things. Shh. And the Rasha thinks to himself, how could that help me to do tshuva? I don't deserve all those things. And Reb Mordechai says, go ahead and keep everything I said. The man had to do exactly what Reb Mordechai said. As he was eating his delicious breakfast, he thinks to himself, how can I deserve this if I am such a big Rasha? As the man was wearing his beautiful clothes, he says, who am I to deserve such beautiful clothes if I did such a big avedis? And as he's sleeping in his comfortable bed, he thinks to himself, I should be sleeping on the floor for what I did. When he's eating snacks, he says, I should be fasting instead of having chocolates and candies. And after a while, he said, how can I go on doing avedis if Hashem is being so nice to me by letting me eat and drink, wear beautiful clothes, have beautiful furniture and carpets in my house? If Hashem is so nice to me, and Reb Mordechai the Tzaddik smiled at me and was nice to me, well, how can I go on being chutzpahdik against Hashem? So you know what he stopped doing? He couldn't stop eating the snacks and the candies and wearing beautiful clothes and sleeping in a nice bed. He couldn't stop that because he said to Reb Mordechai that he'll do that. What do you think he stopped doing?
He stopped doing avedis.
He stopped doing avedis. He was so ashamed of himself. How can I go out on in front of Hashem doing avedis? So he stopped doing avedis. Huh? Tomorrow? No lesson. I don't feel like any lesson. It's a self-evident lesson. That's the lesson. Okay. Some things are self-evident truths. Do we know where the Rambam is buried? Yes, we can go to the cave of the Rambam in Tiveria. Do we know where the Baal Shem Tov is buried? Yes, somewhere in Russia is his caver. Many tzaddikim, we are able to go to their caver. But the biggest of the tzaddikim, Moshe Rabbeinu, we do not know where his caver is. Hashem didn't want us to know where his caver is. Only we know it's on a mountain called Har Nevoi. But where is it on the mountain? Nobody knows. Because Hashem didn't want us to know. He didn't let us know. And he's got reasons why. So therefore, nobody ever went to the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu. Except one time, this is what happened. A big group of soldiers, not Yidden, they said, how come nobody could find where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried? Now, they probably didn't call him Moshe Rabbeinu, they said Moses. We are strong enough to dig up the mountain. If we dig up the mountain, we'll find where he's buried. And they started to dig. They made two groups. One group of soldiers was on top of the mountain. The other group of the soldiers was on the bottom of the mountain. And the ones on top started to dig down. And the ones on the bottom started to dig up. And they were digging and digging everywhere on the whole mountain. Until a strange thing happened. The ones on the top seemed to see something buried in the ground. It looked like a cave there. It looked like a grave. It was below them. And they were digging towards that thing they saw in the ground. At the same time, the ones that were on the bottom saw something above them. And they started digging up because it looked like it was above them. And all of a sudden, the shovels of the soldiers on top started banging into the soldiers on the shovels, the shovels of the soldiers on the bottom. And they started banging into each other. They started digging into each other, banging and clinking the shovels. And the strange thing was, nobody got to that place they saw the cave here. The ones on top saw it was on the bottom. The ones on the bottom saw it was on the top. And they could never find it because they just started running into each other. Which means it was like in a different world at the same time it was in the world. It was impossible to find. Now, there was a mashpia in Lubavitch named Reb Shmuel Groinem. And he said a lesson from this, a very interesting lesson we could learn out from this. Now, this is the hard part. The story part was a little bit easier, but what we learn out from it is a little bit harder. That's why I'm telling it only a day, that we have the big boys here, not the little boys. Who's ready to listen? Because I have to finish it today, because tomorrow when the little boys are here, we have to go on with the easy stuff. Okay. Now, there are higher people and there are lower people. Then there is the Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, higher people, big Talmidei Chachamim, Rashi Yeshivas, people that are involved in Torah and Mitzvahs and Ruchnius, learning and davening, and those are the highest people. Then there's lower people. They go to work out in the world. They have to be out in the street. And they go to stores, and they buy and sell, and they're businessmen, or they drive a truck, or whatever they do. They're out in the world, not in the shul, and not in the yeshiva, and they're dealing with money, and goyim, and all kinds of things. This is now the lower people. Shh. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu is called the complete Emes person. Moshe Rabbeinu was completely Emes, the truth. What is really the truth? That is Moshe Rabbeinu. He was a true person because he was so humble. He was an anav. Now listen to what Reb Shmuel Groinem said. Shh. The higher people say, where is the truth? Where is the real Emes? They say, it's not with us. It's down below. You know who has the emes? The working people, the simple yidden, the yidden that have to go out into the world because they have to deal with the Yetzirah. They have all kinds of nisyonos. Life is difficult. For us, it's easy. We're in shul. We're learning and davening. We don't have problems of the Yetzirah so much. So you know who really has the emes serving Hashem? The people down below. Those are the real Emes people. Now, what do the people down below say? The working people, the people out in the street. Where is the Emes? The Emes is not with us. It's above us. It's higher than us. The higher people have the Emes. The Talmidei Chachamim, they get to be in shul, and they're learning Torah, and they're in yeshiva, and they're davening, and learning, and doing mitzvahs the whole day. In other words, each one says, we don't have the emes, the other ones have the emes. Now, who is right? This is the question. Where is the emes? Is it higher? Is it lower? Is it with the Talmidei Chachamim? Is it with the lower working people? Where is the emes? Each one says it's with the other one. So where is it?
Higher.
You say with a big Talmidei Chachamim, that's where the emes is? Where do you say?
Both.
Ah. Both. Now, listen to the answer. The answer is not so easy. As long as the higher people say it's with the lower people, and the lower people say it's with the higher people, they're both right. The emes is with both, as long as they say it's with the other one. But what if the higher people say, the emes is with us, we have the truth? and the lower people say, no, the emes is with us, we have the truth. What if each one says they both have the emes? Do you think they both have the emes?
None!
No, they don't. As long as each one says it's with the other one, then they're both right. Now, how many boys understood that story? It's not so easy, but it's a beautiful inyan. Now, one more thing, and it's almost kind of the same. There were a few Hasidim talking. They happened to be from Kotsk. And the Kotsker Hasidim are known for being very emistic. Shh. Every Jew should be really emistic. I don't know why. For some reason, the Kotsker Hasidim were very emistic. Now, they're talking. They say, what is a Chassid? What is a Chassid? So one of them says, a Chassid is a person that wants to be a Chassid. What is a Chassid? Shh. Okay, if we quiet, we could hear this. What is a Chassid? A person that wants to be a Chassid. That's a Chassid. As long as you want to be a Chassid, you're a Chassid. So the other one said, wait a minute. So who wouldn't want to be a Chassid? That means anybody could be a Chassid as long as they want to be. So who wouldn't want to be a Chassid? So the first one smiles and he says, you know who wouldn't want to be a Chassid? You know who's not a Chassid? A person that already says he's a Chassid. If he already says he's a Chassid, does he want to be a Chassid or he's already a Chassid? If he's already a Chassid, if he says, I'm already a Chassid, he's not a Chassid anymore. Because he says, I'm already a Chassid. What's a Chassid? A person that wants to be a Chassid. Who wants to be a Chassid? A person that's not a Chassid. Because if he was a Chassid, he wouldn't want to be a Chassid anymore, right? I'm a Chassid. So what's a Chassid? A person that wants to be a Chassid. Who is not a Chassid? A Chassid. Who is not a Chassid? A person that says, I'm already a Chassid. As long as you want to be, and you think you're not, you're a Chassid. Once you say, I'm a Chassid, then you're not a Chassid. Okay, now these are not easy ideas, but they're beautiful ideas, something to think about. And since the little kiddies are not here, and the big boys are here, so we told big boy stuff today. And tomorrow we have an excellent story, Bezrat Hashem, a brand new story, a very good story. So hopefully tomorrow you'll be quiet right away so we could start. It's a long story. It'll probably take a few days. And Mr. Shem will start that tomorrow. Who understood what we said today? All right, my hand isn't up, by the way.